breaking tentative agreement at GM, we're officially suspending our stand-up strike against each of the big three.
3 months before last week's deadly shooting rampage in Maine, the Army says leaders of the gunman's Army Reserve unit said he was behaving erratically. CBS's Matt Piper.
The county sheriff's office says the killer's family reached out in May concerned for his well-being. Police eventually issued an alert trying to locate him with a warning that he was armed and dangerous. After a month, the alert was canceled. That was 1 week before the shootings.
A National Institutes of Health back study finds cardiovascular deaths due to extreme heat are projected to increase between 2036 and 2065. Dr. Sameed Katano with the University of Pennsylvania.
That increase is expected to be greater amongst older adults compared to younger adults, and greater amongst non-Hispanic Black adults compared to non-Hispanic white adults in the United States.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he isn't sold on a Republican-led bill to address PFAS in Wisconsin. The bill would create a grant program to help communities affected by PFAS chemicals and provide aid, but it would also limit the state's Department of Natural Resources' ability to hold those polluters accountable. Evers didn't commit to either sign or veto the bill in an interview with Wisconsin Eye on Monday. Governor Evers and Republicans who control the state legislature remain far apart on boosting Wisconsin's economy and dealing with the state's child care crisis. Republicans are proposing wide-ranging tax cuts and child care deregulation. The Democratic governor says he'd veto those bills.
That is not going to impact inflation. If we're worried about inflation, let's do a middle-class tax cut, and that's it.
Evers appeared on the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies tonight with snow likely. Lows level off around 25. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow. Snow likely 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 29.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
97.7 programming is produced live in the Solidarity Realty Studios. Solidarity Realty, there is an alternative.
Do you want Wisconsin to suck? I don't. That's why you're listening to me now. I'm Hawk, owner of the Atomic Koi Cocktail Lounge. Come to the Koi and tell them you're there because Luke and Brian sent you. Then, I can spend more money on ads and help Mad Radio keep Wisconsin from spiraling into post-apocalyptic Republican suckage. I mean, that's Iowa's job. Buy a round of the Atomic Koi and save Wisconsin one drink at a time.
Suck down drinks so we don't have to suck.
Okay.
You can read the reviews. Excellent service, outstanding food, fun environment. But why not enjoy Fajitas Tapas and Bar in Middleton yourself? Fajitas Tapas and Bar is open 4 to 10 Monday through Thursday, 11 to 10 Friday and Saturday, 4 to 9 Sunday. And though new, it's already a top 10 pick on Yelp. Find your unique flavor and fresh ingredients at Fajitas Tapas and Bar on the corner of Parmenter and University, downtown Middleton. Call 608-203-8048.
Want to party to and from the next Packers or Bucks home game? Want to rent a party bus or 360 photo booth for a wedding, birthday, or special event? Call Gabriel the Promoter today at 414-944-1704. Rent Hercules, the full-size party bus with lights, sounds, and dance floor to transport the party to the party. The best 360 photo booth in Madison is also here with Gabriel the Promoter. Check out all social medias at Gabriel Promotes or give him a call directly. That's Gabriel the Promoter at 414-944-1704.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Las Vegas Raiders, the Green Bay Packers have made their pass rusher, Rashawn Gary, one of the highest paid linebackers, a four-year deal worth $96 million, Gary on achieving his goal.
It's not hard, man, when you come in an organization like this and you have guys that's going to work Monday to Sunday and want the same outcome. So it's not like everybody's down, moving around, we're hungry. And like I said, we're excited for the next opportunity. So as long as we have that energy, as long as everybody's pushing to be better and get better and hold ourselves to that standard, look each other in the mirror, understand what we need to do right and what we need to fix that was wrong, we'd be fine.
Linebacker Rashawn Gary. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. Mainly cloudy tonight with a chance of scattered snow showers. Low is around 27. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Snow showers likely at times again tomorrow, 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
The IEA projects that solar energy will be the dominant source of electricity by 2030 with existing government policies. However, the report warns that current policies won't be fast enough to avoid accelerating climate impacts. So the IEA calls for a tripling of renewable energy and a doubling of energy efficiency efforts by 2030.
Keep calling for much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today. Check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com.
Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, we've been seeing a lot of interesting messaging coming out around Social Security. And you know, I was just reading through this article. One of these opinion pieces that gets picked up. But I forget it. Washington Post, New York Times, it was one of them. And it grabbed my attention in that the headline was, you know, for the good of the country, you know, older Americans should work more and take less. This was the argument that they were making, you know, saying, look, you know, in the old days, you know, people didn't live that long. You know, now people are living, you know, into their 80s and 90s and retiring as early as 62. And they went through this whole very well thought out, very well constructed argument. And look, you know, our Social Security and Medicare systems do need to be updated in a way that makes them solvent. And I've had people say, see, this is why we need to do what the Republicans want to do. And that's cut. You know, raise the retirement age to 70 or 75, or, you know, as one congressman said, you know, people want to work well past 75. And maybe there are a handful of people that want to do that. Maybe there are. But the majority of working people who take a shower at the end of the day, people whose hands are like mine, calloused and dirty most of the time, they're looking towards that 62, 65, 67 as, can I get there? Will my body hold out long enough? Will my knees and my back, will I be able to keep up? And employers don't want older workers, you know, doing those jobs either, because they're not as productive as younger people. Look, older workers are going to be smarter, more efficient. They're going to figure out, but that only goes so far, especially when you're talking about a 70-year-old guy, you know, laying brick. There may be a couple out there, but for the mass of people, move them into retirement age. Well, they're making this argument, and throughout the whole article, you know, they're making good points. Look, you know, people are living longer. They're getting more out than they paid in. And, you know, we need to figure this out. And, you know, they even on one line even brought up the the idea of, you know, maybe we, you know, have to talk about raising taxes on rich people. It was a quick line, and they quickly, you know, brushed right past it. But then they get to the end. And this is the part that again, you know, it's interesting to me how these things always seem to pit people against each other. It's never about, hey, how for the good of, because they're calling to older Americans for the good of the country. Sacrifice, tighten the belt. The final line of this article, and if you want to take a look at it, it's titled, "For the Good of the Country, Older Americans Should Work More and Take Less." The final little paragraph reads, and I quote, "Younger Americans must help lead this transformation. Because every year reform is delayed, they and future generations will receive less support during their working and child-raising years, just as their parents and grandparents did on important issues. It's time for them to speak out and step up." And you go, this is divide and conquer. This is pitting young people against old people. This is what got us into this mess. The wealthy, they're not really talked about. Out of a, you know, 800-word article, tax the wealthy was tax the wealthy. Three words. The rest was, how can working people struggle more? How can working people sacrifice? How could the good of the country should you take less? And I'm going, I'm sorry. I'm not going to put granny back on cat food. I don't want granny having to divide up her medications and only take half a pill today to make it last a little longer. That's not in the wealthiest country in the history of civilization at its wealthiest moment. Sorry, not happening. But this divide and conquer, this is kind of the amazing thing that they get away with all the time, because they want you to focus on, here's the argument, this is it, binary choice. We do nothing and it implodes and everyone dies, or you working people sacrifice. There's nothing in the middle that we can talk about. And look, there's plenty of things that we can and should be doing. First of them being scrap the cap. Sorry, and it should not just be earned income. We should be passive in portfolio income. It should be every bit of income that rich people get that it's taxed on, just like working people. 100% of it. But that's not fair. Yes, it is. Because understand what Social Security is. It's not a retirement program. It was never meant that. It's an anti-poverty insurance program. Sometimes you pay into insurance and you don't get your money out. It's for the betterment of society. And sometimes you pay into insurance and you get more out. That's the nature of the game. But this is one of those moments where corporate America is making out wildly. And understand, what's happening to Social Security was not even mentioned in this. That now you've got over 40% of the working people in this country who aren't paying in because they're gig workers. I know, they're self-employed. No, they're gig workers. They're working for a corporation who 20 years ago would have been their employee. But now, because they've figured out how to game the system, now no one's paying into this stuff. And it is struggling. And there are problems. But killing it does not save it. And I love the argument, we know we got to kill it to save it. No, if you kill it, you've killed it. It's dead. It doesn't help anyone. You can't save something dead. And I've been seeing a lot of this talk. There's been a lot of it. In fact, you know, I was on social media, and this is the weirdest thing. I don't know the algorithm, because I get some, I look at motorcycle videos. My son and I, you know, I'm looking for Tale of the Dragon videos where I can go and you know, me and the boy can ride next year. And I'm seeing Social Security stuff. And there's a guy, and I don't know his name, but he works for the Dave Ramsey. And he's talking about how your union workers, you know, they demand things, and union workers, you know, who do they think they are? You know, all this kind of insanity. And you go, maybe you've never heard of unions. Maybe you've never heard of negotiations. The thing that they didn't mention in this argument is the thing that, you know, Ramsey's, you know, guy doesn't seem to get. You know how we save Social Security? Get people with higher wages. People with higher wages pay higher, yes, higher Social Security tax. It's one of those things that I keep coming back to. They always ask us, take a little more, take one for the team, sacrifice a little more. And yet, it never filters up. You know what does trickle down? Pain and suffering and sacrifice. You never see the people at the top going, yep, I'm going to take one for the team. At least I haven't. Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on one. Alice, how are you?
Totally insane. So I, too, have noticed this, and I thought to myself, oh, gee, this is the Republicans' new way of trying to get rid of Social Security. But the thing that I really was also thinking was, you know, for a party that's supposed to be pro-life, like they, you know, just scream it at us all the time, we're all for guns and babies and Jesus, and, you know, we're pro-life, and everybody else is demon spawn. They sure want to sacrifice the older people. I mean, if you recall,
yeah.
Greg Abbott, during COVID, was yeah. already, you know, hey, Grandpap and Grandma should just die to, you know, keep the economy open. And it's just amazing to me that their base, well, even though a lot of them are uneducated and unable to have critical thinking skills and reasoning, you would think that it would at least be a wake-up call to go, wait a minute, you want to get rid of Grandpap and Grandma and my Social Security? It's just amazing.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Thanks, Alice. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
And look, you know, as I've said a million times, this is not new. You want to make lives better? Really, you want to make lives better? Higher wages. That's how we do it. Better wages, hours, conditions. That's simple. Share the wealth. Simple. Perfect example. You know, the economy is doing much better. Unemployment rates at historic lows. We're seeing, you know, wages going up. And, you know, as Tim Ryan said a bit ago, you know, people aren't really internalizing it. And I think a lot of that has to do with the media that we're consuming. I think they're being told for some, you know, life's hard for everybody. You know, inflation's killing us. And yet somehow, you know, most people that I know, they're doing okay. They're griping about the prices they're paying, but the wages are starting to pick up. So life is getting better. Now, I found it interesting. The LA Times ran a story talking about the murder rate in this country. Evidently, and again, wouldn't know this watching Fox News, wouldn't know this, you know, watching any of our news coverage. But according to the LA Times, the homicide rate in this country in 2022 dropped significantly and has plummeted faster this year than any time on record, putting the country on track for one of the biggest declines in killing ever recorded. We're down here. Crime statistics have shown the murder rate is way down. Yet public perception, well, no, you talk to a conservative, you talk to a red hat, there's murder on every corner. MS-13's coming for everyone. And I look at this and we're in this place where, you know, we've got a media structure that's so hell-bent on keeping eyeballs glued or ears glued to whatever medium that they're just out and out lying most of the time. They're making stuff up. Now, of course, you know, Fox News isn't really news. It's entertainment. Tucker Carlson.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station. From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Recession is coming. And yet the economy is doing fairly well. And I know Joe Biden broke another promise by not having a recession or some nonsense. But the reality is things are moving in the right direction. We're reshoring manufacturing. We're investing in infrastructure. We're doing solid, positive, good things. But wouldn't know it, would not know it, listening to the corporate-controlled mainstream media. Because it's not in their interest. It's not in their interest to say Biden's doing a good job. It's not in their interest to, the story like I talked about a minute ago, for an older guy, Joe Biden is, really forward thinking. And you go, yeah, that's what I want. I want somebody who's going to go, hey, I have a vision for the future. I have a path to make lives better. And he wants his legacy to be that of someone who made lives better. So it's going to be interesting to see where we go. I want to hear your thoughts, though. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So according to Goldman Sachs, the rich people, Goldman Sachs, evidently, they have removed their forecast for a government shutdown. And look, maybe this is a good thing. But they said, given this new geopolitical risks and the election of the Speaker of the House, they have removed it for the short term. Now, 2024, whole different story. Whole different story that, understand, the good Christian Mike Johnson doesn't want to screw up Christmas, doesn't want, to go against feeding the hungry and kicking people out of their homes at Christmas time when they're celebrating the birth of Jesus. Can't have that. But, the day after Christmas, which is like a pink slip, time of the year, he's all in favor of that, I would assume. Now, I do find it interesting that they have thrown what was a little fish into a giant pond. And the media folk are on a feeding frenzy. They are going full tilt boogie after this guy who, evidently no one decided to do the oppo research on his background. I know you run for Congress, someone's supposed to do that. But in a district like his, where his opponent had no resources to actually, do any of this research, you kind of get away with it. When you step into the national stage, when you are two heartbeats away from being president, that brings a whole nother level of scrutiny. And now we're finding out all of the crazy, all of the insane, all of the things that that Mike Johnson has said and done. And, at 25, he evidently adopted a black child, a 14-year-old, which some people are saying a little creepy. I don't know. I'm not making any judgments because I don't know the facts. But it is interesting. The fact that he took down his website. Scrubbed his website, basically scrubbed his online presence. You know, him and his wife evidently did 69 podcasts. evidently did the 69 podcasts and took those down. But, you know, again, on the internet, never goes away. Someone did archive them. They are available for download. So you can hear all of the insanity that the couple, you know, decided to spew. And his wife, you know, basically took her website down for her Onward Christian Counseling Services business the day after HuffPost, you know, pointed out that there were, you know, things on the site that compared homosexuality to bestiality and incest. Probably not the best thing for the speaker to have, you know, I don't know, his wife running around saying. And then there's the video, you know, from 2017 of him basically saying that mass shootings are not because of guns. No. It's because of feminism. It's because of no-fault divorce, legalized abortion. That's what it's really about. Yeah. And look, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Now, here's the thing. This is where my mind goes. Because, again, I don't like being shoveled this kind of, he's the Antichrist or he's the hero. I'm sure he's bad. And I'm sure, you know, some people see him as good. I see him being thrown out and sacrificed as a diversion. And you go, what do you mean, Rick? How could that possibly be? Nothing's getting done. There's going to be nothing that passes out of the House that's going to make it through the Senate. There's going to be no legislative action coming out of this House of Representatives. It's all going to be message, virtual signaling. It's all going to be that kind of, hey, vote for us in 24 because we got bad ideas. And our bad ideas are going to be, how can we punish the others? That's all we're getting. But I think Republicans may have, and maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but here's a guy who's toxic. His positions are out of the mainstream of this country. You know, the country is not far right or far left. I argue for the most part, when you talk to people, we are center left. People believe in social programs. People believe in helping the poor. People believe in welfare and the right to choose and public education and all of the things that the right is totally against. The country's on board with. They're on board with a functional government that solves problems. And yet you've got a Republican Party who, one, hates working people, and two, wants to destroy our government. Why? So the wealthy can get wealthier. And they are wildly wealthier. But I think they threw this guy out there knowing that corporate America was going to do what corporate America does. The mainstream corporate-controlled media, all of the bottom feeder media, you know, presence, they're all going to look for the most you know, divisive, horrible stuff. Clicks and views. All of the, you know, bunch of clickbaiters out there. And this guy gives everyone the red meat. So if you're on the right, he's a hero. He's fighting for family values, and he's fighting for all of this, all of their, you know, again, this stuff that they don't really believe in. But it makes for good messaging. Or they don't believe it for themselves. They want to impose it on everyone else. And they know that the left is going to go, you know, chumming after all of the divisive stuff. And we're going to end up just fighting each other and bickering and eating each other while not noticing that we still have hungry children. In fact, child hunger doubled thanks to Republican policies. Thank you. And Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. We still have homeless veterans. We still have major problems in this country. People who don't have health care. People who don't have access to nutritional food. People who don't have the ability to retire, even though they want to destroy Social Security. There are real problems. And real big ones that take real statesmen and women to come and decide on. We don't have that. So what we need bread and circus. We need entertainment. We need diversion. And that's what I think Mike Johnson brings us. He's the chew toy for the ideologues. He's the guy who we're going to find out some really horrible stuff. Although, trust me, if there's something in that closet, it will be found. When you step that close to the kind of power that he is now close to, they...
Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. United Auto Workers President John Fain is confident about the tentative deal reached with the last of the big three.
We are bringing this tentative agreement to you because we wholeheartedly believe that our strike squeezed every last dime out of General Motors.
CBS's Chris Van Cleve says the union...
They got probably about as much as they could have reasonably hoped to get out of the automakers. You know, they had been asking for a four-day work week and a return of pensions, some things that they just were not going to happen. But they managed a 25% pay raise over the course of 4 years, which is a fairly significant hike, as well as improvements to retirement and a return of cost of living protections as well.
Halloween weekend shootings across the U.S. leave at least 11 dead and more than 70 injured. A 22-year-old man is charged with second-degree murder in a Tampa shooting in which two people died. Many unanswered questions about red flags regarding the mass shooter in Maine who killed 18 people and whether enough was done to prevent the tragedy. The local sheriff's office says he was on their radar. CBS's Matt Piper.
As recently as September 17th, the county sheriff's office says a deputy spoke to the shooter's brother who said he would work to secure firearms the killer had access to. A File 6 alert had been issued a day prior, which is when police are trying to locate someone. The alert urged that officers use extreme caution, saying the man was armed and dangerous. The alert was canceled on October 18th, 1 week before the shooting rampage.
Loved ones of an Israeli soldier captured on October 7th are thrilled Hamas has released her. Israel says some 230 Israelis are still being held hostage in Gaza. The White House says it's confident when it comes to the increasing number of aid trucks getting into Gaza. But as for the pause in fighting, National Security spokesman John Kirby says...
We do not believe that a ceasefire is the right answer right now. We believe that a ceasefire right now benefits Hamas.
A judge orders federal border authorities to stop cutting the razor wire installed along the Rio Grande by the state of Texas. Reporter Chris Fox in Austin with more.
Federal Judge Alia Moses ordered the border agents to stop cutting the razor wire pending the outcome of a November 7th hearing. Last week, Texas sued the Biden administration to stop the practice. The coiled wires rolled out in May are part of Governor Greg Abbott's multi-billion-dollar border security effort.
And behind it, you'll have National Guard soldiers as well as DPS officers. Together, those two strategies have directly stopped people from entering Texas illegally.
The Department of Homeland Security claims it's responsible for protecting migrants from being injured, regardless of their legal status. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
If you're like me, age 65 or older, congratulations. By today's standards, we shouldn't be alive. We didn't wear bike helmets. We drank from the hose. We played outside all day and got cut up and broke bones. We rode in cars that didn't have seatbelts, let alone airbags. We did things that people today wouldn't dream of. But that doesn't mean we're invincible. These days, we have doctor appointments, multiple medications, and chronic conditions to manage. That's why there's Teladoc Health. Teladoc Health brings together all of your health care into one program, including everything from primary care to chronic care management. We even have coaches to help you with diabetes, hypertension, and weight management. And for non-emergencies, someone is always available to speak with at any time during the day or night, no matter what your health issue is. Teladoc Health offers everything needed to live healthier ever after. Learn more at TeladocHealth.com. That's TeladocHealth.com.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally Grown Radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Tonight.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Tries the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bug Tussle Wireless.
Bug Tussle,
we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers called on the state Supreme Court to throw out Wisconsin's current legislative maps in a legal brief filed Monday. The state Supreme Court announced Friday that it would take up the case challenging Wisconsin's maps. Evers joined State Attorney General Josh Call in writing a brief supporting redrawing the maps. Evers added he wants the case to move swiftly and that not one election should take place under the current gerrymandered maps. The Supreme Court will hear oral argument on the case next month. Four different hunting seasons in Wisconsin start next month. Gun deer season is the busiest. It starts November 18th. There are also hunting seasons for beaver, mink, muskrat, and otters. The Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters about safety and to make sure they have the proper permits. The DNR is telling non-hunters to be aware that a lot of people will be in and out of the woods in the coming weeks. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies tonight with snow likely. Lows level off around 25. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow, snow likely 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 29.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Having to do anything with the business, you know, they're gonna call to the stand.
Right. There was the decision originally. She was dismissed in June from the lawsuit, and then there was New York Appeals Court that said the some of the claims regarding her were outdated, but the judge still thought that she had some knowledge, of course, even if some of the claims were outdated, she had personal knowledge of the individual, which would be Trump, and the defendants.
So we'll be interesting to see where this goes. Right. Also, we're going to get your thoughts on Mike Pence. Evidently, Pence aborted his campaign. One of the funniest things on Twitter said Pence can't abort the campaign until it's life-threatening. And it's not life-threatening yet.
I think Pence stopped the...
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on Wiscountry 105.5.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
And if you look at it, he just didn't want to be there. And DeSantis has the same thing. One of them, you've seen the fake smile video where he, you know, he smiles and then he goes back to a frown. And he just doesn't look like he, you know, is comfortable up there, or I think he wants to be there. I just don't think he looks comfortable.
But I also just think that's his demeanor. I don't know the man, but I gotta, every time I see him, that's what he looks like. So I just assume that's his demeanor, you know, when he's happy. You know, he's grimacing even when he's smiling.
Because Vivek Ramaswamy, yeah, I know he's on, you know, political steroids, super hyped, et cetera. but he is a guy that looks like, you know, he really, really does want to be there. He wants to be. But not DeSantis. He just
So who does Pence now throw his massive support behind? I doubt it's going to be Trump.
Well, whoever, I would say, since it's Republican primary, whoever he hates, you know, he needs to endorse who he hates.
Yeah, I'll get you back.
Yeah, I'm supporting. You know, I'm endorsing Chris Christie. Yeah, he needs to support who he can't stand.
There you go.
Pence was nowhere.
Now, evidently, you know, you've got these disqualification clause hearings that are beginning in Colorado and Minnesota. Are you on board with the idea of using the courts to disqualify him? I'm really not comfortable with it.
Because
I still think for the good of the country, he has to be defeated soundly at the polls, even if that means the risk that, you know, he could be president again. But I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, I don't like the process at all, because the process of insurrection, whether you can be a candidate due to, you know, going against the United States, you know, or whatever, especially in this case with it being Donald Trump. And I understand that there's been, you know, dozens of cases, you know, citing the 14th Amendment, and, you know, they've been filed. But I think that final decision is a decision of Smith and, you know, and the courts as to what happened. You know, there's a court case on it.
Right.
And so I think they won't win with these. And so, frankly, it gives Trump a lot of publicity that, you know, he beat the issue. This type of issue rising to this level is not going to be decided by, you know, this system. It's
right.
Just not. They're trying to bar him under the presidential ballot, and it's just not going to be decided that way. I don't think it's a good idea. I think whoever thought it up politically, forget substance-wise, I think politically they didn't think it through.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people doing things politically that they didn't really think through.
No, they didn't on this one.
But we'll see. Now, interestingly enough, the Justice Department is looking for a 10-year federal prison sentence for one of Trump's appointees who assaulted a police officer on January 6th. Again, I don't know, 10 years doesn't seem like a lot.
Well, in the beginning of this, you and I talked about it, when the first cases were coming down, the court was going light. And at that time, there were hundreds of people. And if the court would not go light, if the system, you know, if the prosecutors were asking the full ride and then the court was going way below that, it sends a message down the system to all those other people. If they were more stern in the ruling from the bench, then there would have been a lot of people that would have made some plea deals. They really would have done that. And especially for some of the things that they did, not just the insurrection part of it, but the fact that, you know, the assault in itself, you know, the assaults were horrific.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could get an assault charge on something else, not trying to break into the Capitol for, frankly, I think a longer time.
But again, we'll see. Now, you know, I keep coming back to, you know, Trump and the trials and all this. And look, we keep giving him so much attention. I mean, it's, you know, and in fact, you know, now you've got this guy who's now Speaker of the House. Trump gives him the nickname MAGA Mike. Now everywhere you see, you know, the Democrats are going after MAGA Mike. Any thoughts on the new Speaker, Mike Johnson?
Well, he is, you know, certainly somebody that's an enigma in the sense that if you look back on this, people were saying, well, you know, Jim Jordan is too extreme. And this says a lot about Jim Jordan. He's too extreme. We can't have him, some of the Republicans said. But then they could have Johnson, who's extreme. But they couldn't have Jordan. It just shows you the internal hypocrisy of the whole situation. I do recognize, though, that Johnson has this style to him. And I read a couple articles. One was on a story where a reporter that had known him in Louisiana, you know, and said he's, you know, right wing, right of the right, but his style is not a, you know, aggressive looking style like Jim Jordan, for example, or another member. So as a result, it cuts him a little bit of a break that, you know, he is actually somebody that can say hello to you or, you know, communicate to you. But I saw the prayer thing is a big deal where everybody knelt in prayer in the well of the house, you know. And I was thinking just the other day, if you kneel in prayer in the well of the house, I wonder if somebody had taken prayer rugs and done that.
Yeah.
you think that religious freedom would have rang forth?
No, that's an excellent point. And and again, I'm not against people praying. Mm-hmm. Just do it the way, for generations we did. Go home, kneel down in your bed and say whatever you need to say.
But here's the thing about Johnson that is the most telling of anything that has happened so far. Not just looking at his personal record or something or his style that allows him to, you know, soften the Jim Jordan, you know, approach, but the fact of how he answered on national TV when asked about how he was going to conduct business. And his answer was, you know, the Bible. I'm going to make an argument on that for a second, okay, if I'm the reporter. I don't know why the reporter didn't. If he says, this is how I operate, and he points, you know, to the Bible, as a reporter, I'm going to say this. Let me ask you this question. Would you think that the good Lord would rather the 1% pay 5% more in taxes so that the hungry and homeless and downtrodden could have some financial support? I'd ask that question if he's going to answer the Bible is how he will conduct himself. This isn't a matter of saying the Bible is my faith to say what type of person he is. He answered that the Bible, you know, is his answer to the substance of the government problems. I think that in itself was shocking.
No, it's frightening. Where we've gone, because you know Jim Jordan, like you pointed out, is someone you just look at and you go, danger. That guy's crazy. Yeah. You know, he's extreme. He's got that kind of demeanor. This guy normalizes crazy, and I said the day of his vote, I said this guy is going to bring a Christian version of Sharia law to this country that, you know, is frightening, and I believe that. I believe that's where these people want to take us, to where it's not just you know fascism of corporations and government ruling. It's a theocracy. It's a theocratic fascist state that is. I can see, Christian stonings and all of that. And I know that sounds extreme. I know, Rick, you're going too far. But I got to tell you, I know some of these people, and this is where their minds go.
Well, again, it's one thing if when asked the question about how are you going to operate, if you kind of brought it in this way and said, well, by the way, I'm a Christian, so I'm going to attempt to follow that, you know, philosophy. But when it comes to the public policy of the government, I'm going to be this way on balancing the budget or whatever. He answered, there's my guide. And like I said, I'd like to have been the reporter that would say, don't you think Jesus would want the 1% to pay 3% more for the homeless?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have asked you that question. I would like to see. Now, maybe he would have said, well, I'm an Old Testament guy. I don't know. You know,
okay, so then, you know, when do I kill you for wearing that suit made of two different fabrics?
Right, with a button on it.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, his answer was, to me, that's the most shocking thing so far to me.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, I said this earlier, and I don't, maybe you'll disagree with me, but it feels to me like they put him out there because he could get the votes, knowing that he was going to take all the slings and arrows. Someone had to do oppo research on him to know just, you know, what's in the closet and how extreme he is from mainstream thought. And there's part of me that goes, they threw him out into the, you know, this small fish into the big pond simply to get eaten. Because look, he's two heartbeats from the presidency. Of course he's in a different league than running an election against somebody with no resources. And they're going to dig up all of the craziness. And my argument is, and maybe this is where you'll agree or disagree, that that's the point. By our media, you know, all in on clickbaiting this guy, we're not paying attention to the failures of the Republican Party, the lead in the House. We're not paying attention to the fact that, you know, things aren't getting better for working people because they're so dysfunctional. So I'm curious, any thoughts on that?
I think there's a combination of things here. I mean, I think you're partially correct in that some people have thought this through. That's what you're saying. They've thought this through where it's going to end up. Now, I noticed with real great interest, Rick, something he did, and this was fascinating. He came out, and it was an article, I think, in the Hill, I can't remember, but he said he's not afraid to change the rule about vacating the speaker's chair. He said he's not afraid to do it. And then he brought up the fact that, you know, everybody's here in good faith. He brings that up. And that he's going to, you know, be the most transparent guy ever. And he said this, I think it was on the Sunday show, and that he's not afraid to change that rule. And in his way, the way he operates, this is going to not be a hoopla. And it's going to be quiet, and then all of a sudden something's going to happen that they like, and then the rule was just going to, boom, be changed.
Like magic.
Once he does that, you know what power that instantly gives him. The other thing he said, and this goes back to your statement, the other thing he said is that, you know, well, we could extend this temporary budget till April. Well, McCarthy was thrown out for, you know, doing one. And that tells me that there are people, that's what you said, that have thought this through. I think there's also a group of the members that finally just said, wow, we're dying right before the public. You know, I don't care now if Mickey Mouse becomes the speaker. You know, they didn't care.
I'd have voted for Mickey Mouse.
They knew they were in trouble. You know, they had to do something. But I do think there's a group of them that think exactly what you said. Exactly.
Because every day I'm thinking something's going to come out every day. And, you know, someone, you know, I saw this story that at 25, he adopted a 14-year-old black kid. So then now I got that Hastert vibe in my head. You know, there's just all kinds of who knows where, what path this ends up on. And I think, and I go back to, that's the point. The point is divide and conquer. Keep us in red hat, blue hat land to where we're not getting anything done.
But also, you know, any moves against him probably will come by somebody that is desiring the speakership after 2024 if they keep control.
Yeah.
The powder will be kept dry. Yeah, if right now they put themselves in such a mess, they can't afford to have any misstep. Because if the troops are riled up again, wow, you know, it's going to be an ugly place.
Last question I got for you. Ohio's got a big election coming up. Issue 1 and Issue 2, as I understand, voting yes on both Issue 1 and 2, good. Voting no on Issue 1 and 2, bad. Lots of disinformation on both. Any thoughts on the big election coming up?
Yeah, I think with issue one, of course, we know, what happened with issue one. The Republicans, totally blew that. So I think issue one stands, the best chance to pass versus failing. That was a nightmare how the legislature turned around and tried to have an issue that would then negate the issue coming up, Now, the second one was with cannabis. And so I don't know. I haven't followed that one where it's going to go. It would be legalizing recreational marijuana. I'm going to go, yes, I think issue one stands a good chance. Issue two, it's Ohio still. I don't know. It may not make it. It's Ohio.
So, that is the best phrase. It's Ohio still.
It is. So I'm going to go with a no on issue two and a yes on issue one.
There it is. Bob's lips. Bob, always great talking with you, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick. We'll see you.
Our good friend Bob Ney. There you go. It's still Ohio. That should be on a T-shirt. That's got to be one of our next T-shirts. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1986. That was the day that Edward Meese gave a speech to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Meese was serving as Attorney General under President Ronald Reagan. During his speech, Meese encouraged bosses to spy on their employees in order to determine if they were using drugs. He said management also has to take responsibility for surveillance of problem areas such as locker rooms, parking lots, shipping and mail room areas, and even the nearby taverns if necessary as part of controlling this problem. He also advocated for drug testing of employees. Ronald Reagan had declared what he termed the war on drugs in 1982. Meese was outlining a plan to make the workplace a battlefront of that war. During his speech, he said, "The workplace is the strategic pass-through which almost all Americans move. Consequently, the workplace can be a choke point on this use or misuse of illegal drugs." After the speech, a spokesman for Meese assured the press that the Attorney General was not advocating for bosses to infringe on the civil liberties of their employees. Many workers and unions have disagreed with that assessment. Since 1987, drug testing by employers has risen more than 250%. In 1987, the National Labor Relations Board ruled that drug testing was a mandatory subject of bargaining. By all accounts, Reagan's war on drugs had little success in stopping drug use. In 2005, 82% of polled police and sheriffs called the war a failure. However, the war on drugs has handed a resounding victory to corporate special interests like drug testing companies and privatized prisons. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com. Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Got an email during the break pointing out, because look, I don't know all the details around Mike Johnson, I guess somewhat adopting this 14-year-old black kid. But it was written, apparently Mike met this black adolescent when Mike was in his 20s. And as I understand it, before he met his future wife. So apparently took him in as opposed to legally adopting him. And the details with regard to these circumstances in history have yet to be revealed. Appreciate what you do. Respectfully yours. And look, I don't know. And I'm not making allegations. It does seems interesting. Given the fact of the society that we're in. And I hate thinking like that. I hate that kind of suspicious thinking, but sadly we've seen especially when people under the guise of religious zealotry. Just very interesting. And finally, evidently Lauren Boebert has turned a new leaf. She is revamping her campaign strategy. I guess groping a guy.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, lost of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. The investigation into Maine's mass shootings finds the gunman's family expressed concerns about his deteriorating mental health 5 months before the rampage. CBS News Boston reporter Christina Hager says the community is focused on healing.
Students won't be jumping.